you have a Bible today, turn to the Psalms. Psalm 34, we'll start there. Wonderful portion of scripture in Psalm 34. Trust that you've experienced some of this, and if not, it's available. Amen? Psalm 34. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And then our text today is verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. It's a wonderful text, but let's bow and ask God's blessing. Father, we so want to honor you and glorify you today. We are grateful for the blessings that you give us. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. And we acknowledge that, and we thank you for all your benefits. And I pray today, Lord, as we open your word and speak and preach and hear, that you'll be honored by our response to it. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a blessing. Oh, taste and see. I've used this illustration before, but how would you describe the taste of honey? How would you describe the taste of honey? Sweet, yeah, chocolate's sweet, and peppermints are sweet, right? So, but could you fine-tune it a little bit? Could you tell me what the taste of honey is like? I don't think you can do that unless you taste it, right? You have to taste it to know what it tastes like. That's one of those things. Chocolate, I mean, you can tell what chocolate's like. It's like chocolate. But the sweetness of the Lord is a wonderful thing. And here the psalmist is talking about knowing this sweetness. And I can tell you all day long how sweet the Lord is to me, but until you taste and see, you have to taste and see that for yourself. It's all an individual thing. In Psalm 119, verse 103, the Bible says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And he's talking about trusting in the Word of God and what the Word of God means to him. Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Amen? It's just a wonderful thing to know the Bible and know that that book is alive, and it speaks to you, and it ministers to you. It talks about grace, talks about mercy. Psalm 19:10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. People talk a lot about God and what God means to them, and we'll see that as we get into the message today. But it is a very personal thing. Amen? We may have trust in somebody, and we may say their opinion is good, and that's a good thing to think about. But until we taste and see for ourselves, then we don't understand it. If water isn't sweet, you have the wrong fountain. You have the wrong source. The Bible says in the book of James, in James 3:11, doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. You can't mix sweet and bitter water. The bitter water makes the sweet water bitter, right? And sometimes it works the other way, but we'll see that in a minute too. If the fellowship between people is not sweet, somebody has a wrong spirit. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Amen? And when we love God and we love people, we love to fellowship with those people. In Psalm 55 and verse 14, David says this, we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. He was talking about Ahithophel. Ahithophel was his counselor. And they walked to the house of God. They had a wonderful relationship. But I don't know if you know this story, but Ahithophel's granddaughter's name was Bathsheba. And David sinned with Bathsheba and then had Uriah killed, her husband. And that put this terrible wedge between them, and their fellowship was broken. But to have sweet fellowship with somebody, that is a blessing. Amen? And we're going to do that today. We're going to have food, fellowship, and just don't eat off my plate and we'll get along real good. Amen? You have 2 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship hath communion with darkness? They don't mix. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That is true Bible fellowship. We love God. We love his word. We love one another. If your thoughts of God are not sweet, then you have the wrong perception of God. There's some people that think God is horrible and he's just demanding and he's just a cruel God. But when you understand who God is and what he's done for you, you enjoy the mercy of God. Psalm 104, verse 34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. So we're going to read a bunch of verses today. I'm going to give you some titles for some songs. There's a lot of songs in our hymn book that talk about the sweetness of God. And when you mention the word God or salvation or mercy or grace, that brings a sweet savor in our hearts and in our minds and in our taste. And that's the blessing of today. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They have it all mixed up. And if your taste of God and his word and Christian fellowship is bitter, then there's something wrong there. You just need to drink from the right fountain. I hope to make that clear today. I know a fount where sins are washed away, one song. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Come to this fountain so rich and free. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Trust him today and be made complete. Glory to his name. And that's a fountain that we drink from. It's a blessing. In Luke chapter 14, there's a parable of the great supper. And there's a great man, and he makes a great supper. He put a lot of work into this, like we did today. Amen. Lots of work. Everybody brought their best meal. Amen. Amen. Well, maybe you didn't. But this man made a great supper. And he invited all these people. Remember the story? And there were three particular men, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Here's a great feast, and they didn't want to come to it. And one says, I bought some oxen, and I have to go prove them. Well, that's foolish. Another one said, I bought some land, and I have to go see it. That's pretty foolish. And the other one said, I've married a wife. He's the only one that had a good excuse. Amen. But that was a foolish excuse, too. And so here's all of this banquet spread for them. And they made an excuse, and they did not go to that banquet. That's amazing. The song says, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may sup with Jesus at Jesus' table all the time. We're having a potluck, and I didn't cheat. Well, I'll tell you the truth. While I was back there looking at the dessert table, I got the sneezes real bad. And so I just have to let you know that. There was a little restaurant. It was called Bill's Place, and I pastored in Sturgis, and as you're going to Coldwater, it's kind of farmland out there, and you had to drive about a half an hour to get it. It's a rundown building, nothing around it, just fields, and they only had dinner. They only served dinner late at night, and no matter what time you went, if you didn't go maybe a half an hour early, you had to stand in a long line, and this place did not look like a good restaurant. It just had a sign and some of the bowls were burnt out, but it was good food. And people went there because they got fed. Amen? They loved to go to Bill's Place. I won't talk about the food yet. Anybody like ice cream? I love ice cream. I love ice cream. There was a place in Howe, Indiana called Happiness is Ice Cream. And it was. And they gave you a lot of ice cream. You guys know that place? Yeah, that's a good place to go. Anyway, you would go a long distance to get something good to eat. Amen? And here's three men. Here's the master. It's a picture of God presenting all of this for us, his word and his blessings. And yet they made excuse and they stayed hungry, or they didn't get that sweet taste of that food. And so today, as we open the Word of God, I trust that you taste and see for yourself. Not somebody else's opinion, but yours. John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she said, "Come see a man which told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And it says a little later in the chapter that they came and saw, but they had to come and see for themselves. They could not go but just by what she said. In John chapter 1, verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. He was the Messiah. He was the sent one." The next verse says, "Come and see." He knew to tell that young man to come and see. You have Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. "All, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." I was confirmed in Lutheran Church when I was 12 years old. That was back in 92 when that took place. But my grandmother gave me a Bible for my confirmation gift. And in the flyleaf of the Bible was Isaiah 55, 6. "Seek ye the Lord while ye may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Over the years, I would look at that. When I became a teenager, I just got out of church because nobody made me go then. And I was kind of done with that, and I wanted the world, et cetera, et cetera. But every once in a while, I'd take that Bible out, and I'd look in the flyleaf, and there's my grandmother's writing, Grandmother Panic. And she said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he's near." That didn't mean anything to me. That verse meant nothing to me. It was just what my grandmother wrote in there. But one day it meant something. And I did seek the Lord, and I did find him. And it is a blessing to know the Lord. I mean, it's a blessing. But here was somebody's opinion, somebody I respected, somebody I loved, but it wasn't mine. Amen? And so when you search for God with all your heart, you'll find him. And when you find him, you really find the treasure. During COVID, many people lost their sense of taste. I was one of those people. And food filled your belly, but you eat it for the taste. Amen? That's why you eat the dessert first. So you have room. Make sure you have room. But I mean, to taste food is a blessing. That is a blessing. But a lot of people lost that. Not only did they lose it physically, but they lost it spiritually. They were afraid to come to church, and a lot of people stopped coming, and they didn't have that fellowship and that preaching and that teaching from the Word. In 1 Peter 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word," and we all understand that "ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." The reason there's a desire for the milk of the Word is because we've tasted the Lord is gracious, and we know, and so we put that trust in God, and then it gets sweeter as the days go by. That's a song that maybe we'll have a couple of you come up and sing afterwards. 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan was in a battle, won the battle, and he comes back and he's very weak, and he says, "See how mine eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey." And sometimes it doesn't take much. If you've memorized the Word of God, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God," you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you, all the different verses about the Bible, sometimes it doesn't take much honey. But it gives you refreshment. It enlightens you. Paul is preaching to, in this letter to the Ephesians, but he's also praying for them in chapter 1, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. He wants the light bulb to come on. And if you've ever read Ephesians, 6 chapters, easy reading, you can read it in 15 minutes, it'll really encourage your heart. And that's what he wrote the letter for. He wrote the letter to the Galatians. He wrote it to the Philippians. He wrote it to the Corinthians. And those letters were meant to encourage them and show them the truth of the Word of God. And that's a little bit of honey. Amen? Now, sometimes people get weak and they eat a little bit of sugar and it gives them a pep and an energy. I have to eat a lot of sugar for that. Well, I don't, but I do anyway. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." You don't have to turn to this, but this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." In whom? That's Christ. We go to verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance." And Peter says it's an incorruptible inheritance. It abides forever. And then we have verse 13. Pay close attention to this. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word. You trusted in God after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's something that comes first, and that's hearing the word of God. And when you hear the word of God and put your faith in the word of God, something takes place spiritually. You can be born again by the Spirit of God. Job 42 and verse 5. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I used to go to church. I went every Sunday. I lit the candles. I put the candles out. And in between lighting the candles and putting the candles out, my cousin and I slept on the front pew. Well, almost. We weren't interested in the sermon at all. We just had our robe on, and we had these, whatever you called them, and you'd light the candles. I went, my stepfather was Catholic. I went to Catholic church for a while. I didn't understand it. That's back when they still spoke in Latin for the service. But I went, and kind of religious thing to do, but I didn't know the Lord. I had a bad taste for him, so to speak. I came from a broken home, lots of problems, lots of issues. I saw a lot of sin in the church. And I didn't have a good opinion of the Lord. But when I accepted Christ as my Savior, that changed everything. And that's what we're talking about here. Here's Job. He's heard by the hearing of his ear, but now his eye sees the Lord. And what's he do? He repents. What does he do? He prays for his friends. You have in Isaiah 61, this is the prophet Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And what happened there? He used to say, woe are you. Now he's saying, woe is me. And he says, what do you want me to do, Lord? Here am I. Send me. Something changed when he saw the Lord. You have the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9, verse 5. He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And Paul says, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So you have, I repent, send me. What do you want me to do? That's because the Lord means so much to some people. That's because they've tasted and seen the hand of God, the mercy of God, all the blessings of the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read a few verses there. This is the chapter of faith, and by faith Abraham, by faith Enoch, by faith so many people here are recorded. But we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. And look with me at beginning in verse 24. I'll wait till the rustling of the leaves stops. Don't you love the fall? Man, it's a blessing. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. When you have an experience and you see God and you receive his mercy and you receive his forgiveness, then the service for the Lord, the sacrifice for the Lord, the life for the Lord is a blessing. He esteemed his choice. Esteem means to highly value, to make very, very important. He esteemed choosing Christ over all the treasures in Egypt. What a blessing. Amen? The riches of his grace. It's a privilege to know God. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why is that? That is because Jesus did something for us. Here's the verse, Matthew 26:46. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When the Lord was on the cross. He took your sins and my sins. He died for the sins of the world. And he took that penalty as well as taking our sin. He took the penalty. And so we don't have to be judged like that. We don't have to be condemned by that. We have been forgiven. So he's with us always. He will never forsake us. He paid for our sins so we wouldn't have to. Once for all, the Bible says. One sacrifice for sins forever. And so he was forsaken that we might never be forsaken. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're sinners. We're born sinners. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And that's exactly what he did. He died for us. The Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is a blessing today. That's what makes it so sweet. When we have the Lord's Supper, we talk about the Lord's cup. We talk about the bread being broken body, a picture of. We talk about the cup being the blood that was shed for us. It's a picture of that. In Psalm 11 and verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. That's what they're going to drink from. The wicked will pay for their own sin. If they have not accepted Christ, then their cup is filled with fire and brimstone. But the Bible says that Jesus took that portion for us. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. This is Jesus in the garden, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He saw in that cup the sins of all mankind and the penalty for that. And he drank that cup, so to speak. He died in our place so that we can have the cup of salvation. There's a verse that talks about that. Psalm 116, verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Two cups to drink from. Amen. Two roads to go. There's the narrow way that leads to life. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. We can have the bitter water. We can have the sweet water. We can have the righteousness, the unrighteousness. It's all up to us. Psalm 16:5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. We have Psalm 23. My cup runneth over. The woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. It's the cup. Jesus is the cup. He's the living water. And we can partake of that. But again, as I'm speaking, if you don't believe that, it makes no change, because we have to receive that by faith. And when we do, it becomes precious to us. It's the old story. Tell me the old story. We could sing about it all day long, because of what God has done for us. In John 7:38, referring back to John 4, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, because God puts that in us. You can only experience that by faith. Here's some songs. These are testimonies of some old hymn writers. In the sweet by and by, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, the name of Jesus is so sweet, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Amen. Two of us. Amen. Okay. Sweeter as the days go by, the sweet will of God, sweet hour of prayer. Hour? Sweet hour of prayer? Still sweeter every day. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, etc., etc., etc. These are songs about the sweetness of the Lord. Somebody got it. Amen. Somebody wrote a whole song about it. It must have really affected their heart. 1 Peter 2:7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He is sweet. He is valuable. In Luke chapter 8, there's a parable of the seed and the sower. It's also in the book of Matthew. And it says in verse 11, now the parable is this. And then in Matthew it says, the seed is the word of God. So here's somebody sowing seed. The seed is the word of God. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. You can question my delivery today, say, oh, you got too many jokes. Oh, you don't have enough jokes. Oh, you got too many verses. Not enough verses. You lost your place five times. Who's counting, right? But here's somebody that's sowing the seed of the word of God, and that's all I'm doing today, just passing out seed. And the rest is up to you. Amen? And if you do what God wants you to do, this will be so precious to you. He'll start to mean something to you. And it goes on, those by the wayside are they that hear the word of God. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. It goes on, they on the rock are they which when they hear the word, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So that's what happens to them, the on the rock. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. In other words, the cares of this world choke the word. They choke the word so it doesn't bring forth fruit. But here's verse 15. But when the seed falls on good ground, which is an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. When you receive the word, it does something. It's miraculous. Amen? This is the Spirit of God. This is the creator of everything, the creator of life, the sustainer of life. He's prepared a place for us in heaven. I mean, all the scriptures that mean so much to us, they mean so much because we believe it. The Lord is precious. The word of God is precious. The wisdom of God is precious. There is a substance, I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, gymnemic acids. They call it GA, but it's a medical thing. And it is a substance that blocks lingual sweet taste receptors. And I guess they give it to people that just can't stop eating sweets. And so they give you this, and it blocks the receptors. So you could eat something that's sweet, but you don't taste the sweet in it. Some people, spiritually, that's happened to them. Their receptors are blocked. And we find in the Bible why. The pleasures of this life, the riches, the cares of this life. And we don't seek the Lord. When you seek the Lord and find him, then you find rest unto your souls. Then you find the comfort of the scriptures. Then you find grace and mercy. Then you find forgiveness. You find this sweetness that you just can't describe to somebody. But you have to taste and see that the Lord is good. It has to be a personal thing. In Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little bit of leaven. You have Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies, what a nice picture. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Song of Solomon, the little foxes spoil the vine. Little leaven, little folly, little foxes. Here's a good one. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Any root of bitterness. Take root downward, bear fruit upward, the Bible says. As is the root, so is the fruit. You'll never get oranges from an apple tree. Amen? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The seed you sow, that's the crop that's going to come up. And so you have here, this root of bitterness, it's springing up, troubles you, and then it defiles other people too, because bitterness is a terrible thing. Where there's bitter water and sweet water, there's something wrong with that fountain. It can't happen. It's either bitter or sweet. And it's a blessing to find the sweetness of the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Happy. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. I mean, there's so many promises in the Bible. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's like honey. It's refreshing. It's enlightening. It's a blessing. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Good job, buddy. Good job. He's on the front row, man. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, if you seek it with all your heart, filled with the Spirit. Have you ever got up from a meal and said, man, that was a good meal, and I am hurting, but I'll just have a little more. And I'm at capacity, but I think I'm only up to here, and I still have this much to fill up, you know. Said, that was a good meal. You ever, in the morning, you get up and you read the Bible, and you go, man, that is good. My wife and I will do it. She does it more to me, because I need more Bible than her. But she'll be reading in her devotions, and she'll say, hey, Paul, come here, because we have our devotions in separate rooms. And then she'll read something to me. And it's a blessing. Amen. It was a blessing to her. But I didn't know it until I tasted and saw. Amen. But then it became a blessing to me. Take your Bible. Take the book of John. Take the book of Romans. Stay in the Psalms and just read through it until you just, your heart's on fire. And it'll be a great, great blessing. Man, that was a good meal. Man, that tasted good. That was good eating. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Sweetness of forgiveness, sweetness of comfort, sweetness of hope. Don't choose the bitter when you can choose the sweet. Amen. And some people find that out too late in life. The sweetness, if you're lost, think of the sweetness of having all your sins forgiven. And you say, well, I can't comprehend that. By faith, accept Christ as your Savior. Then there's a work done in your heart. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you let him in, Revelation 3, he's outside the heart's door and he's knocking. Remember the picture that they used to have in the churches? He's knocking outside on the door, and there's no handle on the outside. Has to be opened from the inside. He said, I'm knocking at the door, and I will come in and sup with you. I will feast with you. I will give you something. All you got to do is open the door. By faith, believe what we're saying. Believe these verses. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he will become sweet to you. He will become precious to you. That is certainly a blessing. Take the cup of salvation. It's time to throw out the dregs that are in the other cup. All of the heartache, all of the bitterness, just cast that cup aside and let God give you the cup of salvation today. Let's bow our heads, please. Blessed, blessed be our Savior. Blessed be his word. Blessed be our fellowship in church. The right fountain, the right perception, the right spirit. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, by faith, this is what he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sincerely, sincerely call on the Lord. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. Your sins can be forgiven. You won't have to worry about where you're going to spend eternity. You'll go to heaven. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior with all your heart today. Silently, don't say the words out loud. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and mean it. I believe you died on Calvary's cross for my sin. That's faith. Please forgive me. Please give me a home in heaven. Help me to have faith in you. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you're still hanging on to bitterness, a little bit of bitterness will spoil a lot of good works. Destroy your spirit. Let it go. give it to the Lord, and take that cup that overflows with grace and mercy. You'll never be sorry. It'll be a great day. Father, please bless your word now. Speak to hearts, and may we rejoice in so great a salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.